Oh, I can't breathe.
Oh. Maybe you need some oxygen. Okay. One of those tanks, you know, that helped.
I don't know, I just, if I have to walk from over there to over here, then it's like I run a marathon. Alrighty. I've been dealing with something and I want to talk about it, so it's in the same general. Oh, there it is. I lost that. Let's go to Genesis. What did I miss yesterday?
We had Bible study last night.
Yeah, what'd you talk about?
Talked about Ephesians 2. Same old message.
Genesis chapter 1.
Lay your life down.
Genesis 1.
Genesis 1, verse 1.
It's in the beginning.
That's about as Genesis as you can get.
Yeah.
There's a huge debate in all of the Talmud and the ancient documents about how can Genesis be considered part of the Torah, because it was before, you know, from Exodus on. Exodus is Genesis, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Huh?
You missed Exodus.
Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Those five books are the only thing that in ancient times and with Jesus and all of the disciples, that's the only writings that were considered scripture. And so with that, and it's scripture because it was given by God through Moses, those writings. Except Genesis, because Genesis was before. So then how can Genesis be considered part of the Torah? Because how could it be inspired? Because it wasn't through Moses. People really don't know who wrote Genesis. So how can it be inspired? How can it be scripture? Anybody ever thought about that? We've only talked about it about 23,000 times. Anybody have any ideas?
If it's good enough for Moses, it's good enough.
Well, I remember we talked about before that it was passed down to Moses, but that.
Well, still, how did it get to be scripture? Remember, scripture means that in the ancient text meant that which was directly inspired or written by the hand of God. And they can understand it because of Moses. When Moses went up and for 40 days and 40 nights, he didn't eat or he didn't drink any water for 40 days and 40 nights. The only way that could have happened is that he left time. He went to eternity. And then he was instructed to build all things according to the patterns that he saw on the mount, on the holy mount. And to do all things according to the pattern or to the parable or the shadow. So how can this be considered scripture? How can Genesis be scripture? Nobody?
No clue.
I assume it was dictated, like.
What?
But I assumed it was dictated, like. But you know, says that the Quran was dictated to Muhammad.
Well, that's what everybody says, but you know, but this when the rabbis and the Hebrew scholars that had any integrity, they had to face this question. Now, since we are so fallen, we don't even think about the question. Because we think anything that's in this between these covers is scripture. And that's not true either. But what?
You're irritating me this morning.
Why?
because I don't know. It's like this is a big puzzling thing, and it's first thing Monday morning, and I'm not even awake yet, and this is just overwhelming. I can't even catch up with you. That's the truth. It's like, what the hell is he talking about?
All right.
Some I don't think I can do 1 and 1 equals 2. Yeah.
Some of it had to be dictated unless Adam wrote it, because you don't even... You have to get to chapter 3. Was anybody but Adam and Eve there to even be into it, you know, been there to watch it?
How could Adam write scripture as a fallen man after the curse? Anyway, all right.
Mine says the first book of Moses called Genesis.
Actually, it's true. It's written down, Gary.
let's look at something just so you can. This is quoted all the time. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 3 first before we get to Genesis, so then maybe you'll get some meaning to this question. What are you doing, Pat? You writing letters?
Yeah. 2 Timothy 3:16, yeah, all scripture is inspired.
All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works.
Sorry, where in Timothy are we?
All right. 2 Timothy chapter 3. We're going to start now. Since you did that, we're going to start in verse 14. Or let's start in verse 10. This is a letter to Timothy. Remember, Timothy was his...
Striker.
Yeah. Doppelganger, striker. Verse 10, but thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecution, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But, now he's talking about, now, but for you, Timothy, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned, and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So, the only thing Timothy had that he's telling him about was this all scripture, the Torah. And that was enough that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus.
He had the prophets and the writings too, but
they're not considered scriptures. I mean, now everything is considered scripture. Footsteps in the sand is considered scripture. What's going on? Are you still irritated?
No, I'm listening. I'm less irritated. I'm waking up.
All right. The reason is because Genesis was considered by all the major rabbis as Torah incarnate. In other words, it was considered to show example after example after example after example after example of what the Word made flesh looked like. Remember from the Melito speech, if you want to know about this man called Jesus, look at Abel, who was slain by Cain. Look at, the whole issue. So if that's true, and I of course believe it is, that the book of Genesis shows us picture after picture after picture after picture of what Torah incarnate looks like. Remember in Hebrews 1 it says, in many separate ways, in many separate revelations, many have shown you a portion of the truth. So if you understood the fullness of even Genesis, you would find and come that Jesus Christ is the only thing anything is about. But then you get a more pristine, more clearer picture in Exodus, and you get a more clearer picture in Numbers and Leviticus and Deuteronomy. And so finally we see in the Scripture the fullness of the person of Jesus Christ, the fullness of the reason for time and space, the fullness of the purpose for why you were born, the fullness of what the will of God is. Can you capture that for a minute? So the Genesis, as part of Torah, was considered to show us Torah incarnate in many, 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 many examples, and showing us what the Word made flesh looked like. This is a big deal. Otherwise, we read Genesis and we think it's a history book, or we get all bent out of shape because some pagan is thinking of believing in evolution, or whether it's creation or design or all that other crap. Excuse me, Pat.
It's not working.
So is everybody else.
He must respect you because he never says excuse me to me.
I was being sarcastic. Have I never been sarcastic to you?
Yeah, but he doesn't know.
Sour. It's. Did you notice how I said that? Sarcastic. Okay, so now, keep that in mind. So if this mystery of God has something to do in Genesis with what this mystery of Torah incarnate looked like, then we can get to what I was going to look at. In the beginning, literally what it says in Hebrew is in a beginning. In a beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And then there's this whole, what I believe, and from Genesis 1:1 to Genesis 1:2, maybe a billion years, or 5 billion, or 15 billion. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. But then at some point, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved on the face of the waters. Now, you got to hear this from the standpoint of you, from God's purpose, from God's look at you. In the beginning, there was a formation. And this, you as the earthen vessel, were without form and void. Void meaning empty, vain, fruitless. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. And remember, whenever it talks about the waters, it's looking at the human race as a whole. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved on the face upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. At some point in your walking in darkness, God moved upon the face of the deep, upon the face of the waters, and said, let there be light. Let that light which is in all men now be seen in you. Let there be light. Now then, from that point on, and everything else continues. Now let's go to Luke. Remember, the reason we're talking about this is this God moving on the face of the waters, and God said, let there be light. That is always said in all of the ancient documents, that is what happened on the Feast of Pentecost, the first Pentecost. God said, let there be light. What? You're doing it again.
The word light's almost not enough. It's like, because that's a light, you know. The word light is so expanded here. Let there be illumination, let there be...
But listen, remember what I said? Any light that you can see is only the garment for the light. Because the light that this is talking about, when it shines, when it's made visible, when it's made manifest, that light destroys. You don't remove darkness by analyzing it. You remove darkness by turning the light on. And so when they're said, in you is the earthen vessel, at some point in your walk, God is said, or is saying, maybe today for the first time, he is saying, let there be light. Now this is the light that is brighter than 10 billion suns. It's the light that is God. Remember, God is light. God is the way, the truth, and the life. He's the light. Okay, now let's... What?
Well, reminds me of Job kind of saying, I've heard of thee in the darkness.
He didn't say that. But.
I know. But it, but now...
Yeah, and that has to happen.
The light's on.
That always has to happen. There has to come a point in your life. You may know and have studied, and you can call yourself a Christian, you can call yourself whatever you want. But all you're doing is analyzing darkness. And the evidence of whether you've been born again isn't, oh, I'm a Christian and I praise God and I give you all the glory. The evidence is much, much more. The evidence is that you've forgiven everyone from the heart, all things. That you lay down your life for the people around you. I mean, it's not what you call yourself, because that destroys the religion that's going on within you. Is still happening. You still have all the crap that you're thinking, and you get all these weird harebrained plans, and you still are trying for all your self-redemption, and you're still worshiping all these ridiculous idols until the light shines. And then that light vaporizes everything. But the light, you've got to understand, it's impossible for us to conceive of, but you have to understand that the light is the manifestation of humility. So as long as you want to be in a place where you can compare yourself and you can do all these things and you can make plans and ideas and stuff, then God is not going to, he's not going to, you've got to come to the end, because you have to confess the Lord Jesus. Meaning you have to say the same thing. You have to be able to say that I am walking in darkness. I am darkness. There is no light in me. Because otherwise darkness isn't upon the face of the deep, because you're walking in twilight.
And sparks.
Huh?
And sparks.
Yeah, you're walking in the sparks that you have kindled. Oh, I've got a great idea. It's just another spark. It's not an accident that cartoons, the idea is a light bulb. So you're walking in the sparks that you have kindled, but this have you shall have in my hand, you shall lie down in sorrow. So no matter how many thousand sparks that you've lit during your life, they're just the sparks that you have kindled. You've heard of God or heard of him by the hearing of the ear, but that doesn't mean anything. You're still walking in darkness. You're still walking in twilight. Okay, now are you ready to go to...
How does the scripture... What does it say about the people that...
walk in darkness have seen a great light.
Have seen a great light, yeah. Take heed as unto a light shining. I know I've been underground in caves. Man, after you're in the dark for a while, any spark seems like, wow, look, there's light. But it's just a spark.
Again, remember, let's continue on in Genesis here a minute. The reason we're doing this is because about 99% of the time, I don't think you're understanding what I'm talking about.
I think this will help.
Huh?
You think this will help?
No, I think it'll understand. It'll help you understand that if you're still comparing and still trying to understand and still trying to get and still trying to achieve and still trying to become something, then you're still walking in darkness. No matter how much you say, oh, I want light, I'm a truth seeker, I just want to do this. No, you don't. You just want to be in control. So can you capture this mystery? This light is not, it's you cannot apprehend it. You cannot try to see it. You cannot try to find it by looking for it. The moment that you understand that you are without form and void, totally and completely empty, fruitless, meaningless. You have to be in the same position that it was at this beginning. Oh no, but I've got some good in me. No, you don't. Oh, but I'm smart. No, you're not. Harry used to think he was smart. I'm certainly not smart. I don't know anything. I know light. So watch. And God said, let there be light. There was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And this, there's a humongous horizon that's a great gulf between this light and darkness, so that there's never an intercourse between light and darkness. And so that, remember we've talked about, there's only two things left. There's only the vessels of wrath or the vessels of mercy. There's only the whore or the bride. There's only light and darkness. And there is no intercourse between them. Am I communicating, or am I just on a rant here? What do you, Gary?
In darkness, you know, he divided darkness, but all he did was spin the earth, you know, because the light's always there. Just that we're in physical.
Yeah, but this is 10,000 times greater.
Right.
Than that. So listen, and God called the light day. And the darkness he called night. And that's always the case. It's not talking about, oh, the sun's going to rise and then it's going to be better tomorrow. No, it's not. That just means you're worshiping the same gods that they did in Babylon. The god of tomorrow, I'll be better tomorrow. I'm going to get it. It's going to get better tomorrow. All the stupid false hopes that you can conceive of. So the night, he called the light day, the last day, and he called the night darkness. Now for most people, they've never even seen the light. They've never had any idea that the light even exists, because they walk in the twilight and the sparks that they have kindled. Matt, Gary?
Well, I was just noticing that day is capitalized and night's capitalized. We're reading this, so.
Well, what I would wish you would do, I wish every time you go through that process that it would be shared. That's all I'm asking.
I share stuff off as I can. I mean, I wasn't hiding nothing. I just suddenly noticed it.
But what I suddenly noticed is you left.
Okay.
So all I want you to do, if you're doing that, just share it. Yeah. It's for all our benefit.
I noticed that today is capitalized.
But you notice that this is just, remember, the original had didn't even have noun or vowels. It didn't even have spaces between. It didn't have punctuation. So it was about form and void.
Yeah.
Okay, now go to Luke, chapter 1. sixth and verse 26. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin, espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And you remember, Mary means bitter. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And she did the same thing that Gabriel did. What are you talking about? I mean, an arranged marriage to a guy with some kids. I don't even know him. She's about 13 years old. My life is totally ruined. And then here's this angel that comes and says to her, And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. And he shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. The Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this thing be, seeing I knew or know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Now this is what it means to be born again. When you come to a place in your life where there is total and complete, you see you're without form and void and vain and everything is wrong and nothing can be fixed no matter how hard you've tried, no matter what you've done. At that point, the Holy Spirit, an angel comes and said, You are highly favored among the human race. Now the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, shall overshadow thee. And that's what being born again means. You can't be born again and still savor the things of the earth. You can't be born again and still desire what men desire. You can't be born again and still want what they want. You can't be born again and still fear what they fear. You can't be born again and have ever make any reference back to your own past for what's going to happen in the future. Because the Holy Spirit is coming upon you and you'll be guided only by the Holy Spirit. And just like you don't know where the wind came from and where it's going, you have no idea what's going to happen to you. And this is why. But again, you keep going back. You keep resurrecting the evil one from his deadly head wound. The moment you become the subject of your sentence, the moment you start concerning yourself with you, then that gate shuts and darkness returns to space until you come to the end again. Does this ring true to anybody? John? What?
Yes, it rings true.
But you understand everything I've talked about?
It rings true, but does it answer this question you posed at the beginning? I'm trying to put that back.
If it doesn't, then you didn't hear anything.
Oh, well, we've got a subject for next time. Next Bible study.
This is just the beginning, the first three verses of Genesis that showed. Even in the first few verses, it revealed Jesus Christ. So now he'll do it again and again and again and again and again all the way through Genesis so that you can see and know different manifestations of the Word made flesh.
And let there be light is...
And it's always the case.
...to be born again. I mean, that's where it starts.
Yeah, but God has to say, let there be born again. You can't.
Right.
So the moment, that's why this the whole thing about... All of this. go to one more thing. Go
that,
to Philippians.
That actually is pretty cool because that, everything else is darkness and you're groping around even if you're claiming to be a seeker and using God's name and everything, but you're still in darkness. There's no light, there's no revelation, no understanding. No.
And it's meaningless.
Yeah. Everything you do understand is meaningless.
Philippians chapter 4. Now, because of what we just studied, because now your life is guided only by this mystery of the Holy Spirit, that there is a life, a new life within you that has absolutely no reference to anything about you, no reference to who you think you are, what you thought you were, what you're going to be, or where you're going to go. It's a reference to a light that is independent of itself, of everything, except the Father. And so because of this, you can say, or you can understand, in verse 4 of chapter 4 of Philippians, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation, and the word moderation there means abandonment of self. Let your abandonment be known unto all men, for the Lord is at hand. And that doesn't mean he's coming, he's next to me. It's the Lord is all I know. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now, again, the thing is prayer and supplication here. And you got to understand this. If you've seen the light, then prayer is you can't separate prayer and supplication. Because prayer is giving up to God whatever it is, no matter what. And supplication means I put my head in the mouth of the lion. What happens to me now is meaningless. Prayer and supplication. Prayer and supplication. So any of these activities that we've been talking about the witchcraft and sorcery of your mind, and you, oh, but I'm doing it in Jesus' name. Oh, I'm doing it about God. No, you're not. You're just it's spiritual masturbation. It's just meaningless.
Prayer and supplication is visceral because you can't fake that. I mean, you can try and fake it. Fool yourself, but in real terms, it's...
You may fool yourself, but you won't fool anybody else.
Yeah. When you're doing it, it's...
Are you still upset at me?
No, not at all. It's, no.
Can you see all of these little games that people play and they mean nothing. And all the games you play in your mind, they're less than nothing.
What that scripture talks about, how great is that darkness? When the light is in you. The Gospels.
All right, take it, big guy.
Oh,